This ain't rocket science, people. Shut up, Ira. Nobody works the room like the sage does, gentlemen. Tantalizing flashes. You're a jinx. You're this. You're that. Shut up, Ira.
Buccaneers fans, we are fired up for more Ira Kaufman. Who could ask for anything more than the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, the king of Pasco County and Newport Richey at the same time, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Fans are listening all over the place on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. The spring trade-up is going on right now. So many amazing offers. Get to BillCurryFord.com, and you have personal service right there, gift-wrapped for you at Bill Curry Ford from General Manager Sean Sullivan himself, our resident draft guru, and just a guy who loves giving Bucks fans everything they're looking for, including the Ira Kaufman discount. Sage, we're fired up. We got news. We got angles. I got surprises for you. How are you?
You know, this is going to be an all-positive podcast, gentlemen. All positive. I'm sitting out here, backyard. The sky is blue. Beautiful sky, 71 degrees. The squirrels are going crazy in the backyard. But most importantly, gentlemen, we got to count our blessings because we're writing about and we're talking about the best team in the National Football League. Who would have thunk it? Lee, a year ago, we didn't know what was going on. 5-11, new coach. Brady just came in. How much juice does he have left? We don't know about Ronald Jones. We don't know about this guy. And here we sit, the most complete team in football. Lee, I believe the over-under win totals are out. Now, they'll change after the draft. But right now, I think the Chiefs are listed maybe as the first team, maybe at 12. I think the Bucs are 11.5. They're the number two choice. Lee, I think if you look at the two organizations, and you know that I watch the Chiefs very closely, the Bucs are the better team, as they proved right here at Ray J. So we chronicle the best team in football. And nobody's been able to say that around here for almost 20 years. This team might even be better than the 2002 team, less holes. We are covering, Lee, in depth, the best team in football.
The 2002 Bucks versus the 2020 Bucks, that's a great summertime debate. We can talk about that, but that's down the road. That's down the road. You teed me up with a rant like you couldn't have scripted any better. I'm sure, Ivor, you're all about this Sloan conference. You probably fly up to New England and you sit in on this 3-day conference with your calculator and your spreadsheets and your Microsoft software. These freaking idiots, these freaking imbeciles that don't know a damn thing about football, but they know everything about a blankety blank Excel spreadsheet. These a-holes came out with the transaction of 2020. What do you think the transaction of 2020 was, Ira?
Lee, that calculation should take 2.5 seconds. It is automatic, but obviously it is not. It is not number 12. So I'm trying to think. What the hell could they possibly come up with? It better not be Philip Rivers. Lee, better not be Philip Rivers.
And I hope you're not sitting there anywhere near your pool because you'll fall in.
Let me hear it, baby.
The transaction of the year was the Arizona Cardinals trading for DeAndre Hopkins.
Last time I looked, they weren't even in the freaking playoffs. Lee,
thank you. They got it. They improved by a whole three games. They improved by going from last place in the NFC West to third place in the NFC West. Meanwhile, the Bucks sign a guy that completely single-handedly changes a woebegone organization, a garbage organization, into a Super Bowl winner in less than a year, and that's not the transaction of the year? Are you freaking kidding me? I just want to take a freaking hard drive with these assholes. I'm sorry I said asshole, but that seems the description fits.
You know, Steve, I'd rather read about Jenna Lane and her ducks than hear any more about this stupid entity.
Norm right. Sloan would know better than the Sloan Conference.
Oh, boy.
That dead crook that used to coach Florida basketball.
Norm Sloan. Yeah.
I don't know. I never heard about this stuff. Can't take it too seriously.
Oh, my God.
The stat guy.
Seriously at all. If that's the transaction of the year, I mean, it's like Jerry Seinfeld wrote this or something.
You know, Steve, it's like when we read some of these Pro Football Focus evaluations and they come up with Alex Kappa's, the third best guard in football.
All right, Ira. We've got a new player. The first outside the organization move of the 2021 offseason happens on April 12th, a month after free agency begins. The Bucs bring in an outsider, Giovanni Bernard, the veteran running back from the Bengals. And Ira, you know why I'm a little tired today? I'm a little tired today because I stayed up all last night watching Giovanni Bernard clips on NFL Game Pass. And I put in the research, Ira, put in the research, went back to 2018, dug out when Bruce Arians called Bengals games during his stint with CBS, and he called two of them. And just so happens, and I think I'm wondering if we're going to hear about this from the coach himself eventually, but week four, 2018, Arians goes to Atlanta with his CBS crew. He covers the Bengals at the Falcons. Joe Mixon was hurt that day, and Giovanni Bernard got the start. And Arians, he's raving about this guy, how he knows how to set up blocks on screens, and he's saying it over and over, and he's just so impressed with how this guy has awareness in the passing game. And he had a good day running the ball that day as well. 15 carries, 69 yards, 2 touchdowns, caught everything thrown at him. I'm telling you, Ira, we're going to find out that Arians' little jaunt with CBS had a little something to do with this signing.
Nobody takes a deeper dive than Steve Isbitz. That is outstanding research, my man. And I'm going to grab a little credit here too, gentlemen. Lee, a week ago when you were into your, rant about maybe taking Etienne with that 32 pick, I tried to shoot you down. I talked up Ronald Jones, and I also said, you know what? They can pick up Giovanni Bernard. He's out there now. I mentioned his name. In keeping with this all-positive podcast, Lee, despite your rant accepted, I'll say it again. I mean, was this a game-breaking decision, Giovanni Bernard? No. But it's a smart move. It's a smart move in a series of smart moves. Lee, what an offseason. They can't do anything wrong, this organization. They had other teams that were interested in Bernard. The Bucks land them. You want to credit the Brady effect? Go ahead. We don't care. They got him. And, Lee, I'd be surprised if he doesn't become the third down back. His hands are much, much better than Ronald Jones. And they are better than Leonard Fournette's. There's no question about that. The guy is, he's a notch below James White, maybe, as a pass-catching running back, Lee. I know you've talked about why do they need one. Well, every little bit helps, and he's very good at it. Is he a top-notch running back running the ball? No, he's not. He's never been. You know, he's going to average just 3.5 yards. He's not as gifted as Ronald Jones or Fournette with the ball in his hands running between the tackles. But, Lee, he serves a function. And another smart pick. I got to give the Bucks their due. They've had a wonderful offseason.
If I recall correctly, Steve, didn't Arians call a Browns game and said that, he was turned on by Perriman? Of course, Perriman had a crazy year his 1 year with the Bucks, but Arians went and got him because he saw him and was impressed with him when he called a Browns game. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, that's exactly why I went back, because when Breshad Perriman signed with the Bucks, Arians made it clear, I had the Browns a few times and got to look at this kid, got to go to practice, and a great ball player. And he basically said that his broadcasting time led him to Breshad Perriman. And so I wanted to see if he had some sort of ties to Bernard. Maybe that has nothing to do with this, but maybe it does. And he certainly was very impressed.
Well, I think it may have, because it came out yesterday per Ian Rappaport that Arians got involved in the recruiting of Bernard.
Right.
And he was only out there for a week. I got to give him credit. And this is why I don't coach for a living, or I don't work in the NFL for a living. Some fans, and I'll give some of the readers, Joe Bucks fan, credit as well, because they were on this long before I was. There were people like, oh, they need to get this James White. And I got to promise you, I don't think I've ever seen James White carry the ball once or catch the ball once. I don't watch the Patriots. So right. I don't to me, James White is about the equivalent of a backup running back for Indiana State. I've never seen him. So people are like, well, we got to get James White. We can catch the ball. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I just saw the Bucs average 30 points a game through the playoffs into the Super Bowl without a pass-catching running back. What are we talking about here? You know? Yeah. And I'm like, well, that doesn't fit. No risk, no biscuit. Throwing to the running back, it doesn't jive. Well, you know what? They're diversifying their offense. You know, the defenses are spending the whole offseason trying to figure out a way to stop the Bucs. So they're focusing so much on the long pass. Well, here Aarons goes out and gets a guy, catches the ball out of the backfield. So all his research on how to stop the long pass may not be as effective anymore because he's diversifying his offense.
And you know what this goes along with? And they must be listening to Izbitz very carefully on this podcast, because Steve wants the Bucs to bump up to about 33 points. He wants to add 3 points an outing. And
why not 35?
Why not 35? So, Steve, this is another facet where they can upgrade. I think he's going to end up being the third down back. We shall see. But, Steve, on 3rd and 4, when everybody is looking for Gronkowski and Brait and Godwin, now you got to worry about little Bernard sneaking out on the flanks, and he's very good at it. He's good at screens. Steve, very dynamic front office. This light Arians/Brady, executive branch. You couldn't ask for a better offseason. And I think, Steve, just for 2021, we're not talking about down the line, the Bucs have a very, very nice backfield combination with the Vaughn kid, also with potential. I don't think the backfield is a problem at all in Tampa.
Gosh, this is a massive upgrade to LeSean McCoy, and who was sort of running on fumes. And Bill Polian was on Sirius Monday night late, talking about how Bernard is a better runner after the catch than James White, and that how Bernard, unlike James White, is a guy who could be your featured back if you had an emergency for 2 or 3 weeks. And as I wrote on Joe Bucs Fan, Bernard got 15 carries or more in 3 games last year for the Bengals. They won all those games. And that sort of stands out when your team only wins 4 and you were the go-to guy in 3 of them. And, he's just a talented guy. But what interests me, Ira, I'm a little bit intrigued. I know Lee said the Bucs didn't have a pass-catching back, and that's sort of the mindset of a lot of fans. But, Fournette averaged 45 catches a year before he got to the Bucs. That's more than Bernard has averaged in his career. That's a pass-catching back. And I think Fournette is going to really push to be that third-down back and have as many opportunities as he can. Just because, he can catch, and obviously he can run and be extremely effective. So I like the competition angle of it all.
I think that's a great point. I think Fournette will not turn over that third down role very easily. He did catch 76 balls for the Jags before he joined the Bucs. It is important to note that that's a big number. But watching those two over the years, Lee, to me, Bernard is the more natural receiver. Softer hands, I think, better after the catch than Fournette. But Fournette's not bad at it, Lee, and certainly he came on strong at the end of the year in that regard. He was a dual threat. I think the competition is going to be very exciting for Buck fans to watch.
Competition's always great.
Ira, tremendous rains over the weekend, a lot of damage. Hope everybody was safe. But with all that rain comes situations where people pop leaks and things happen, damage, disasters. Maybe you are out of town, you come back. Next thing you know, you realize you had mold everywhere. That's when you got to reach out immediately to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, the Bay Area's number one restoration company when it comes to any kind of thing. And especially they're licensed mold remediation specialists. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. No joke, Ira. It's such a serious thing when something happens in your home that threatens it, and you need an honest assessment, a free assessment of what's happening. That's why you pick up the phone 24/7. You call Florida's Elite Restoration, and they're going to come out and give you that free assessment so you know what's happening, and they'll help you.
Steve, we love living in Florida with all the pluses about it. With the pluses comes the humidity. water and humidity, and the next thing you know, you got a mold problem. Flora's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call before your insurance company. Let them come out, give you an honest assessment of what's going on. You know, they do a great job. We know the people over there. Josh has the best people in the business working with him. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. You won't be sorry.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. I got to tell you, Ira, I'm a little bit distracted because I'm at BillCurryFord.com right now looking at a new 2020 Ford Explorer Premium, which is such a beautiful vehicle. Over $14,000 of discounts, all itemized right there for you to look at. So many other great incentives this month at the spring trade-up event, BillCurryFord.com. Remember to ask for Sean Sullivan directly. He will help you directly. He's the boss. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He will give you the VIP experience, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, this Giovanni Bernard situation, are we all in agreement that this changes the game for the Bucks in the draft, that they're not going to draft a running back, period? Maybe a seventh rounder that they're kind of in love with? Are we looking at it that way? Or do we think maybe that they could be like some clubs do, carry a fifth running back if the guy is the type of guy who can play on special teams, like Ernest Graham did years ago, like Keyshawn Vaughn does and others? What do you think there?
I'll say this, Lee. I can't be a hypocrite because I've been saying for weeks now that the Bucks are in the enviable position, and I think it's a very rare position. A lot of teams talk about, oh, we're going to take the best guy on our board. We're going to take, and that's nonsense. They always throw need in there, and some teams do it more than others, and the Bucks, you know, have been victimized, Lee. I think Light even admits that over the years, sometimes need creeps in too much, and you take a lesser player on your board because he fits a particular need. Lee, that's not the case. That's not the case in 2021. I think the Bucks might be the only team in the league that can go in and actually say, we are going to take the highest rated player. Now, maybe you make the exception for quarterback. Maybe. But Lee, if the running back, you know, has a 5.5 grade and the next guy on the board is a linebacker with a 5.2, I'm taking the running back. Because as you mentioned, going down the line with Ronald Jones' contract, Fournette, we don't know about Vaughn. Bernard is not 22 years old. So, Lee, I know this is giving you an opening to mention that guy's name again, which you love to do. But my point is, I'm not going to fault the Bucks for taking anybody at any position if they think he's the best player that's out there.
For the crowd that screams best player available, and like you, I totally agree with you, Ira, that's a crock. It doesn't exist. The only guy that I know that did that was Chuck Knoll. And yeah, he had four rings, and he also passed on Dan Marino because of, quote-unquote, best player available when he needed the quarterback. So, and passing on needs means you pass on a career because you will get fired if you don't address a need. The owner will be all over your rear end. You know, this is reality. We're not pro football focus and play, you know, abstract BS. At any rate, I'd be shocked if they drafted ETN. I'd love it if they did, but I just can't see a running back. Tell you what, this guy from Texas, this linebacker slash edge, James Osei.
Joseph Osei. He's everywhere.
I don't know how much of an edge rusher he'll be, but damn it, that guy doesn't remind me of Devin White the way he's all over the field. I mean, all over the field. Making plays sideline to sideline. Man, I would love to see the Bucks get him because I would trust Todd Bowles to figure out a way how to use it. And, of course, down the line, he'd certainly be able to replace Lavonte David. But that guy so impresses
me. And Lee, that guy could make an immediate contribution on special teams.
Outside of return game, I'm not going to lose sleep over special teams. I understand what you're saying. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not trivializing. I'm not the kind of person that lays awake at night thinking about who they could draft in the third day of the draft that could play Gunner. That's just not me. I'm sorry. There's better things to think about when you're in bed at night. Oh!
There's enough people in the market who obsess about that kind of stuff. We don't have to do it and waste our time.
Man, by the way, people who are trying to figure out who the Bucks are going to pick on the third day of the draft, just pull out a Ouija board. It's the same thing.
You're absolutely right. These mock drafts, these seven-round mock drafts, stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I won't go there, but I understand what you're saying, Ira.
Well, I'm all for the seven-round mock draft if you actually go through the exercise of picking every pick for every team. But if you're just going to pick a set, I like these seven guys for the Bucks. Stop it. You know, just stop it. You know, I don't like that at all. Sage, Lee floated this out there, and it's worth exploring with your wisdom, 57 years focused on the NFL from a professional standpoint. Not sure what's so funny, Ira.
Come on. I was putting baseball cards in the spokes of my bike with clothespins 57 years ago, Steve. Now, come on.
As you drove it to work at the New York Post. So, Ira, however, do you think the Bernard move signals that Brown, we're done, or we're on plan B offered to you, you waited too long? Do you think it means anything as it ties to Brown?
I think they're two separate issues. Lee, if we've learned one thing about the NFL over the years, it's that what appears to be cap hell can easily turn into cap responsibility. That there's so many ways to maneuver, and the Bucks have proved it in this offseason. Restructure with this guy. They're not done with that if they need to. As far as Brown's concerned, Lee, you said you're not losing any sleep over a gunner. I'm not losing any sleep over Antonio Brown. I'm not. Buck fans, some of them, seem to be obsessed with this guy. They want him back, but not by a significant margin in the Joe Buck fan poll. You know, if you squeeze him in, bring him in, no harm done. Well, I think they need to go on without him. Our information is he's probably going to end up in Tampa because I don't think he's got great options. I think he's got very limited options. Hopefully that humbles him a little bit more, Lee, than he's already been humbled. Lee, on the Antonio Brown front, I'm moving on. To me, he's an afterthought.
What you're saying is very fair, Ira. You know, I was looking at it as, okay, you got X amount of money budgeted for your players. And they obviously had some money stashed aside for Antonio Brown. Well, here Giovanni, clearly the Bucks wanted him. Giovanni Bernard becomes available. They've got money stashed aside. And they're like, we can't be held hostage by Brown. We got plenty of receivers. Here's a chance to improve our team. If Brown wants to play, okay. But you know what? We can't stand here and twiddle our thumbs. We got to move on as far as improving the team. By Antonio Brown playing on social media, he may have cost himself $1 million because that money is not there any longer. Or, and you disputed this, and your reasons are valid. I'm not disagreeing with you. Or the Bucks could have just said, you know what? We waited on you for 3 weeks. You still haven't signed. We can't sit around anymore. Bye-bye. I'm still hoping that Brown comes to his senses and signs a contract because, very simply, are the Bucks a better team with Brown? Yes, they are. It's as simple as that. I'm sorry to quote Lovie Smith.
Shame on you.
And, of course, maybe chipping away a little bit from the salary cap was the re-signing today of Ross Cockrell, the veteran cornerback. He made a couple of starts last year. He actually played more than 20% of the defensive snaps, filling in here and there and doing a solid job for a guy who came in late September, jumped onto this special COVID veteran practice squad, and then got into the roster and did pretty well. So, you know, even if he's making $350,000 more than a third-round rookie would be, or a veteran minimum guy, you know, that adds up toward what the Bucks can pay Brown. But like Iris said, there's always room to maneuver if they want him. As far as Brown, I'm going to take his side a little bit in the sense that the longer he waits, and again, we don't know how much the Bucks are offering him. If it's we're assuming it's not that much, but the longer he waits, and he may be content to wait until somebody gets hurt in training camp, or even as it gets close to training camp, when, you know, teams realize, okay, Antonio Brown made it to August 1st without getting in trouble. And, you know, maybe we hear the Bucks are only offering him, or he's telling us the Bucks only are offering him $2.25 million. You know what? It's August. What's the worst that'll happen? You know, we could use some help. We didn't get our guy in the draft. Maybe as time passes, all of a sudden Antonio Brown's market could improve. I got to say, he's a guy that I could see the Saints adding on August 15th for $2.5 million. And next thing you know, he's best buddies with Jameis, and it becomes a very interesting situation.
I don't think there's a lot of doubts about his talent. He's got a potential Hall of Fame resume. I'm not sure he's the player he was in 2015, but he can still play, and he proved that down the stretch with the Bucks. But he's not clear of his legal issues. That could bite a team that signs him. All of a sudden, he's not available, and they're shorthanded a little bit. But I understand Steve's point, Lee. That's an interesting one he comes up with the Saints, because other than Michael Thomas, who did very little last year, I know he was injured, but when he came back, he didn't do much either. I think there might be an attitude problem with Michael Thomas in New Orleans, and I think Winston could use another weapon, so keep your eye out on the Saints in the Brown sweepstakes.
That sounds just like Sean Payton.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I could easily see him playing for the Saints, easily.
Yeah, and they're a perfect example of let's see who they draft, because they could draft a first-round receiver, and yeah, they've got some other guys there, and Tre'Quan Smith and guys, so who knows? But I think the longer it goes, the more teams will feel comfortable. Well, Antonio Brown's not going to do something insane in the next 4 months. Maybe he can handle another four. Yeah, who knows? Okay, and Ira, I wanted to ask you this because we've touched on it before. It's a theme of mine. I'm putting in some research. Maybe in the summer I'm going to write something more extensive on it. But we continue to see now with this Bernard addition, the Bucs build on an offense that might become the best in the history of football, and a roster that may become the most loaded in history. When you look at the running back core now, and you look at the receiving core, let's just say they add Brown, like as you said, Ira, our information says he'll be here eventually. And then you look at the tight end core with O.J. Howard coming back. You look at an offensive line that just won the Super Bowl and was dominant and physical. And you look at Brady. This may be the deepest offense, most talented in the history of football, Ira. Am I insane?
It's very, very formidable on paper. Where's the chink in the armor? Well, Lee, I'm not sure the offensive line can keep up that kind of play. I mean, the first half of the season, maybe the first three quarters of the season, the offensive line was okay. It was okay. They blocked pretty well for Ronald Jones, protected fairly well in spots, certainly not in the New Orleans game, week 9. That was a problem. But all of a sudden, that all came together down the stretch, and that's with a backup at right guard and a rookie at right tackle. To Steve's point, on paper, this is a hell of an offense. Of course, Brady must be healthy. Brady must be upright. That's a given. I mean, they don't have another quarterback on the roster. I assume they will re-sign Blaine Gabbert, which doesn't thrill me, Lee. My feelings on that issue are well documented. Bruce Arians is the only guy in the world, I believe, that believes that Blaine Gabbert can come in for 7 weeks and they can go 6-1 with them. I don't know where he comes up with that. I believe he's 3-15. As an NFL starting quarterback.
Ooh.
With some bad teams, I admit it. But this is a hell of an offense on paper.
No question about it. No, as long as they stay healthy, you're right. You can't bank on that. But, you know, I read something over the weekend, Ira, from Football Outsiders. And this is sort of a pet subject of Pat Kerwin's. Obviously, he works for SiriusXM NFL Radio and a former Jets suit. Kerwin always harps on, you could tell a good team by the health of their offensive line. And Football Outsiders has some kind of formula to calculate health. You know, to me, you just look at starts.
Right.
And the three of the four teams they had for the best offensive line as far as guys playing and snaps and things like that, three of the top four offensive lines were playoff teams. And one of those teams was the Bucs.
No question about it. And Lee, on the other side of that, look what happened to the Chiefs. Mitchell Schwartz missed the whole year, basically, with a back issue. And then Fisher, the left tackle, went down. And when they got to Tampa, they had no chance.
They have a guard that opted out.
And they had a guard that opted out. Steve, you've heard me say this for 5 years on this podcast. Five years, and I always preface it, Buck fans don't want to acknowledge this. Buck fans don't want to hear it. Shut up, Ira. You're a jinx. You're this, you're that. Guys, the facts are the facts. The Bucks have been remarkably healthy in terms of their offensive line. Remarkably healthy. Give them credit. I mean, Smith plays through pain. Marpet plays through pain. Jensen, Kappa did go down, but Wolfe didn't miss any snaps. And Dotson was fairly healthy. during his tenure. Very fortunate in that regard, Steve. And that doesn't always mean you can bank on it for 2021.
No, and look, and some of that the organization would tell you is their fantastic training staff and Arians managing the rest and the health of these players perfectly. But yeah, that it's the same for every team. But and the Bucks have been very very blessed in that way. And that sort of leads me to something that I think is another angle on Giovanni Bernard, but it relates to the defense. But first, Ira, I want to explain to everybody that when we say we're having a draft party, our annual draft party, which is at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street in Clearwater, what that means is that fans, Bucks fans, 90%, but fans of all teams gather to watch the draft and just love every minute of the excitement that is the draft and get all fired up as the Bucks pick approaches. And that's what we're going to be doing at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. And it's just going to be a great night because the food is so amazing, because the beer really is the best in Florida, hands down, whether it's the Wavemaker Amber Ale or their best-selling Bramosa Tangerine IPA or the Palm Bender Gulf Coast IPA, Tropic Pressure Golden Ale. It's such a long list, and you can find them all at BigStormBrewery.com or in local stores and at so many establishments. They've been around for so long. It's a local company. They love the Bucks. But it's just going to be a great time. And, you know, there's 30 tables outside covered, and indoors is about the same. It's modern. It's awesome. It's not going to be like past draft parties, Ira, where you've got hundreds of people swarming around. It's just you can't do that in the COVID environment. But it's going to be a blast. It will be a full house. Get there early. We've got so many giveaways. You don't even know, Ira. And it's just going to be a great time.
I'm really looking forward to it, Steve. You know, we had to cancel it last year. We didn't want to. You know, the COVID pandemic was just breaking out at that time in the early stages. And we had to do what was safe and prudent. But we're back. We're back with a vengeance. It's going to be a great time. Steve, you mentioned all those beers. You didn't mention Kolsch, which is my favorite at the moment. That could change next week upon my next visit to Big Storm. But, you know, you got Kolsch out there, too. Goes down very smoothly with my fish tacos. I've got assurances. I got assurances, Lee, that the Reuben will be on the menu that evening. You know I'm going to start with that Reuben. Who knows where I'll go on from there. I believe I think we started a diet the other day. That's going to be blown to smithereens on the evening of April 29th, but so be it. We don't know when the Bucks are going to pick. Guys, usually it's within an hour of the draft. This year, it might be closer to midnight, but, you know, the party's going to go until the Bucks make that pick. So come on out. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Ira, I'm going to say something that's probably going to make the birds in your backyard quit singing. Let the record show that Ira said he's going to be eating sauerkraut. So, cautionary tale for people that arrive at Big Storm.
By 10:30, they need the cooling fans on. That's what they need. Let's hope the sea breeze is in good form as we sit there in Clearwater again, just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful. Follow Big Storm on Facebook, Odessa, Cape Coral, the Clearwater flagship location, and the beautiful new location right in Amway Center in Orlando. Sage, I believe now, if you can confirm that the Reuben is on the menu, I think I'm going to give you, I'm going to get you some free Reuben cards for you to just pass out to a dozen fans or so. Let them sample your Reuben, and we'll take care of it.
That's outstanding, Steve. And anything they can't finish, I'll box it up and I'll take it home. No question about it.
All right, Sage, look, I wanted to run this past you because, and Lee, I just think it's an angle here. We need to explore. We dive deep here on the podcast. Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, he put on Instagram, as Lee posted, that he's back training at $1. We could tell it was $1, and he's back there running on the treadmill after his knee surgery, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? The Bucks could have spent the money on Bernard and spent it on some edge rush help, on some depth there at edge rusher. But no, they put it into offense to get a fourth running back that many could say they don't really need. And what does that tell you about anything or their confidence in what's going on at edge rusher?
Lee, I'll let you take that first.
I wrote about this, 3 weeks ago maybe. I just threw out the name Brian Kerrigan. And what I don't know about Ryan Kerrigan, I don't know if Ryan Kerrigan's over the hill or not. I thought, you know, they might be able to squeeze some juice out of his legs and, you know, get 10 snaps out of a game max. And I don't know what Ryan Kerrigan is asking. Could be doing what Matthews did. Like, you know, I'll play. I'll come out of retirement as long as you pay me. So there's that angle. But you know, I thought initially they could have found an edge rusher, you know, a reserve guy that's looking for work. And I always thought of Ryan Kerrigan. Now, I always butcher his name, so I just call him by his first name, Yannick. Yannick wasn't a possibility either. So maybe they think that the guys that are out there just even in a part-time role, either simply can't get the job done any longer or are just way too expensive. So that's my guess as to why they haven't brought in a guy like a Giovanni Bernard of edge rushers, you know, a guy that recently got cut or a guy looking for work that played last year. Unless you want to make the connection that this suggests the Bucs are going to draft an edge rusher, which that's a possibility as well.
Steve, they could draft an edge rusher. They could. You know, this front office is so on top of its game right now that I don't put them past. You guys know that late August, those last cuts, all of a sudden teams, you know, they dump some veterans that still have a little juice left. And we're talking about a backup guy. Case of an injury to JPP or Shaq Barrett, or maybe play 10, 15 snaps a game. So I could just hear Buck fans say, well, wait a minute. You can't bring somebody in early September and expect the guy to contribute. Well, what about the game plan? He's got to realize what Todd Bowles wants to do. This ain't rocket science, people. If you can play, you can play. Yeah, so we're not necessarily talking about a starter, depending on the injury situation. So, Steve, I'm not sure the Bucks are finished. There's nothing to say the Bucks are finished in terms of an edge rusher. Wouldn't surprise me at all if somebody gets pried loose August 29th and the Bucks pounce. That's how dynamic this front office seems to be at the moment.
Well, I'll throw it out there to you, Ira, that back in 2015, Dwight Freeney was on the street and he signed with Arians in October. And
nice, Steve.
And,
nice.
You know, racked up like 7-8 sacks and was a big part of that team. So it's certainly not something that Arians would be against if there's a name out there who they think could help on the cheap. And Freeney played, I had just read about or looked this up the other day. I was looking at something. He played for the league minimum at the time.
Nice, Steve. Steve, your research today is impeccable. Impeccable.
Oh, it's the off season. I get to watch all these NFL games. The half that I missed during the regular season, I get to go back and watch the condensed game. 40 minutes, I got a game in.
You're listening to Bill Polian at 1:45 in the morning, Steve. Man, I don't know what kind of sleep are you getting, man. Unbelievable.
All right, Ira, calm down, calm down. Not everybody needs 13 hours of sleep like you do, Ira.
I've been dreaming about Tom Brady, gentlemen. Tom Brady. When am I going to meet this guy, DeKemper? When am I going to meet him? When am I going to break bread with Brady? You know, I think I can win Brady over in about a minute and a half. I'll wear that TB12 hat. I'll do anything he wants.
Suppose he doesn't. Are you going to stand on a chair? Suppose he doesn't see you.
Steve, come on. I'm trying to keep a straight face over here. Don't make me run into a wall over here. You know me. Nobody works the room like the Sage does, gentlemen. I would say within 5 minutes, I got Brady eaten out of my hand. How do you like that, Isbitz?
Lee, it just went from a minute and a half to 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to be too presumptuous.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Last one I'll throw out there, Sage, and I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, that's where you shop for a vehicle first. You know, everybody's shopping. You're supposed to look around, but you got to go where you know you're going to get great value, great service, personal service from GM Sean Sullivan, as well as a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium right there on the east side. Just walk right in. You'll really enjoy the experience for sure, especially if you ask for Sean. Sage, Jamel Dean was talking. They were celebrating him over in Cocoa. It's very interesting. You know, guys have won the Super Bowl from the Bucks, and all over the country they have hometowns. And I don't know if anybody's been celebrated more than Jamel Dean has in Cocoa, Florida. They gave him the key to the city. He's back with he does interviews there all the time. He's doing other stuff. So he's out there, was interviewed, and he talked about how the coaching staff keeps everything very calm for the players. He's like, you're not walking around tight or stressed out or nervous. And he talked about Todd Bowles being the kind of coach who doesn't just coach, that he actually sits you down and teaches you football, explains why everything is going on. And then when you're on the field and he makes a call, you know what to expect and why he's doing it, and you just have a deeper appreciation. And it got me thinking of Lovie Smith and talking to players who said they never spent more than 2-3 minutes with Lovie, who was calling the defense at the time and was completely disconnected from the offense. So it's like, what was Lovie doing all day?
And gentlemen, Lovie ends up with a job back in the NFL with the Texans, who are about to go 2-15. They have no talent on defense. Let me say this about Jamel Dean. You may not buy this argument, but he shows flashes, Lee, tantalizing flashes. He made a huge play early in the year with the pick six against Rodgers. It turned that whole game around. Who knows what would have happened? I believe the Bucs were down 10-0 at the time at home, and it looked like Rodgers could do anything he wanted that day, and then he couldn't do anything after Dean stepped in front on that sideline pass and took it to the house. He's capable of making big plays. He's got the size they want. But Lee, he's in and out. He has some bad games. I remember the Giants game. The Bucs were kind of lucky to win that game. A couple of those Giant receivers got past Dean late in that game. And if the Giants had a better quarterback that day, you know, they would have ended up with a couple of 60-yard touchdown bombs over Dean. I think the Bucs are kind of waiting for him to take it to that next level, maybe like Carlton Davis did last year. My jury's still out on Dean, Lee. I think he's talented, but he's not consistent. And I think Bunting's a better player than Dean right now, but I think Dean's more talented. So what's your feelings on Jamel Dean, Lee?
Quite simply, he's a starting-level cornerback on a Super Bowl winner. Nothing more needs to be said. He's certainly not Vernon Hargraves. He's certainly not Altron Werner. A couple of the Lovie cornerbacks. Yes, Vernon Hargraves is going to play for Lovie this year. That, you know, I don't watch the Bengals because they're horrible, and I don't watch the Patriots because they're the Patriots. I may make time to watch NFL Game Rewind to watch Lovie Smith's defense led by Vernon Hargraves. I'm serious. I may just watch that.
Don't be cruel to Kemper. Stay classy. You think Dean needs to step it up a little?
Well, you know, I just hope they all step it up a little bit. They're all young. They're all under 25. That's the five guys coming back, and throw in a sixth guy with Mike Edwards. So if all these guys can even just take a quarter step forward, a half a step forward in their games, and keep developing and build on the confidence of, you know, playing in the playoffs and succeeding, then they really have something special. Does Dean have to improve? Sure, he has to improve, but he's a late third round pick, and maybe he's playing to his ceiling. And like Lee said, they won a Super Bowl and he's a starting level player. So it works.
Yeah. You know, even Edwards made some plays down the stretch, guys. I wouldn't give up on Edwards.
Oh no, not at all. Edwards really improved. I know some people hated Edwards as a rookie, and during training camp last year, I thought Edwards was going to be the starting safety. Now, obviously, they gave that to Winfield smartly, but Edwards was playing that well, at least I thought, my eyeball test. I thought he was playing that well that I thought he had a starting job.
Yeah.
He played a lot with the first team in training camp, a lot. And that's also a part of the reason why I thought he was going to start. Like, well, you guys getting this many reps for the first team, you know, let's do the math here. But they gave Winfield smartly, and Winfield certainly deserved it, don't get me wrong. Love Winfield, but I thought Edwards played that well in training camp, and that continued throughout the season. He improved quite a bit.
Steve, you got to give some credit to Kevin Ross, the Rock, and our man Nick Rapone. Nick, if you're listening to this podcast, we love you. We want to hear more from you, and he's the safeties coach. And Steve, those two guys did a very good job with these young players in developing them. They got better as the season went on. Whitehead too. Winfield solid all year. Again, it goes back to one of our main themes, development of young players with this coaching staff. It's been a huge difference for this organization.
Fight mold with Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't mess around, Ira. Don't go with some seventh round pick. Go with the first round pick, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And of course, we're fired up for the draft party. Plenty of information has been flowing around about that. More to come. Ira, we're out of here. Say goodbye to the good people of Tampa.
It's all positive. And Giovanni, welcome to Tampa.
Okay, Ira, I'm going to get your feedback on this. Over the weekend, I heard about and read about, I have an absolutely brilliant marketing move, I thought. Now, I know in the sports realm, the general sports realm, spring football game in college probably ranks 8 on the list of sports to watch. For football fans, it's probably, at this time of the year, for football fans, it's number 2. But for general sports fans, no one gives a damn. And frankly, they're boring. I'll watch it because it's football. But I'll watch chimpanzees play football, okay? I love football. And since I've given up on baseball and I won't watch golf, and don't even get me started on that tripe they call professional basketball, I got to watch something. And so, you know, I'm watching spring games. Anyway, the Florida State spring game, they did a brilliant marketing move, which I wish somehow, some way, the Bucks would incorporate. But I'm not holding my breath. And there's some Bucks connections here. And there's, in fact, a JoeBucksFan.com connection here. Florida State's coach, Mike Norvell, decided he was going to have guest coaches. These guys would be on the field. They'd be wearing the headsets. They'd have a playbook, both defense and offense. They'd be calling all the plays. There were 4 of them, and they were all media members. And I just thought that was brilliant. Now, just FYI, what's the connection with Joe Bucks and the Bucks? Well, Gene Deckerhoff was one of the guest coaches. Obviously, he's the voice of the Bucks. Jeff Cameron, the Scuttlebucks with JoeBucksFan.com, he was another guest coach. And the other two were Andy Staples, who used to be your former colleague at the Tampa Tribune, and Andrea Adelson, who works for ESPN. Well, anyway, Staples, well, they all wrote a column about it, but Staples was talking about how much he learned. That you're basically the offensive coordinator. You're sitting there, clock's moving. Hey, come on, let's go. Got to get the play in. And he wrote about how much he learned, including, I mean, Andy Staples played college football, although he was a walk-on. He played college football at Florida. Cameron, I think, played at Middle Tennessee State. But Andy Staples told him how much he learned. Like, for example, he said he learned that one thing goes wrong in a play call, like during the play. One little thing, the entire play crumbles. See, all 11 guys have to be on the same page. And I'm thinking, okay, with the Bucks, forget the reporters. Have fans do this. Bring fans in the springtime. Let them do this at a scrimmage. I just think this would be, you know, some fan, let's say Sean Sullivan. I'm just going to throw a name. You know, Sean's been a fan forever, huge fan. Have Sean come out there, and they gave him what Florida State did. They gave these guys a tutorial the day before, like a 2-hour tutorial. Okay, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you do on the headset. Here's your playbook, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a limited playbook. It was like 25 plays. And I just thought that would be so awesome if the Bucks could do that for longtime fans. Like, hey, you want to call a play? You know, forget Madden. Come out here and call plays in a scrimmage with the Bucks. I just think that would be not just rewarding for fans, but educational. Like I said, when a guy like Andy Staples said he learned a lot doing this, this says something. I just thought that was a brilliant marketing move by Florida State. And apparently the football coach came up with it, Mike Norvell. And I just think that would be so awesome for fans and the team, and maybe even the players as well. Your thoughts, Ira?
Arians has been known to go outside the box, but Steve, I got to admit, I'm still hung up on the media possibly calling plays, and I just can't shake the image. The Kemper telling Tom Brady what kind of pass to throw. I think that's fantastic. It reminds me, Steve, of when I believe it was President Nixon tried to tell maybe Don Shula what play might work against the Redskins in the 72 Super Bowl. Do I have that right? George Allen. Yeah. So he told Allen what to work against the Dolphins, right? And meanwhile, the Redskins ended up losing the game. Nice job, Tricky Dick. Nice job. Steve, the image of DeKemper telling Brady what play to call is, you know what? It's going to carry with me all day long.
I was going down the rabbit hole of YouTube over the weekend, and I came across a town hall in 1968 of Richard Nixon in Atlanta. Take a wild guess who the moderator was of this town hall in Atlanta with Richard Nixon.
Tom Brokaw.
No, no. Now, I emphasize the word wild. Wild. This guy was the moderator.
Moderated by Roman Gabriel. No, no.
This
who was
the moderator was Bud Wilkinson.
The old Oklahoma coach, Bud Wilkinson.
Bud wow. Wilkinson was a moderator.
And, Steve, I believe he won 47 straight games as a college football coach. 47.
Ira, you had me cracking up when you referenced the 1972 Super Bowl. Imagine, like, you were a young man in the late 60s, and you're listening to sports radio, and the guy starts talking about the 1914 World Series. It's like, come on, Ira.
Now, Steve, that was the perfect season. I mean, it's the only one that's ever happened. It is the perfect season, and this is the perfect podcast, Steve, and the perfect time to say adios till the next podcast.
All right, Ira, you catch up on those Lawrence Welk reruns.